But on the line I have David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Hello, David. How are you?
Incredibly excited is the only way to explain it today.
Well, listen now, I know you're going to have a busy weekend. Well, you have a busy weekend every weekend. But before we talk about Cassini, of course, I want to talk about the Starbecue, which will feature it as well tomorrow night. But you still have some room left for people if they're interested in going tomorrow to the Starbecue. So give us all the details on that.
Yeah, it's the biggest annual gathering of telescopes for the general public to come along and look at the wonders of the universe. We planned them over a year in advance. I can tell you the date for next year's one if you like. And we did that. And then NASA, during the course of the year, announced they were going to crash the Cassini spacecraft into Saturn. And we luckily had already planned to have Saturn as the keynote object at Starbecue this year. So tomorrow night, in the most powerful telescope in Ireland, the general public can see Saturn live on the historic occasion of just 24 hours earlier, the Cassini spacecraft crashing into it, worth over 3 billion euros. So we'll have a talk by the Planetary Society, US Space Planetary Society, about the Cassini mission, and we've hired a cinema-grade projector to give incredibly detailed images to the crowd in the GA grounds in Roundwood in County Wicklow, high in the mountains, where the skies are pitch black. And we're going to show Saturn live, the best pictures from Cassini over the last 13 years. It should be an amazing night for the whole family.
Okay, so people look up upon astronomy.ie for all details of that as well. Absolutely. And go to Starbecue. Yeah. Okay, now
don't miss this one. It's a fantastic event every year since 1992. Big star party in Ireland every year. Great fun, lots of things happening. But this year is going to be very special.
And unusually, I think we can say that the forecast is going to be very, very good as well.
Yeah, the forecast looks great. But don't worry too much about that, because even if it was cloudy, we beat the Irish weather. We discovered this trick years ago by rerunning the event the following weekend with just the telescopes. No barbecue, no talks, just to get the people the view through the telescope. So we guarantee you a view of Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen, I'm going to jump to the very end here, because I found it very interesting that by destroying Cassini, NASA ensures the spacecraft will never accidentally wander near moons and contaminate them with microbes from Earth. That sounds bizarre to me. We always worry about it being the reverse of that.
Yeah, that's true if we were bringing something back, but in this case, because he's too far away, we would never get it back, and no sense parking it in orbit around Saturn, because something might hit it, knock it out of orbit, and we're pretty sure it has man-made bugs on it, because they try to keep these spacecraft very clean when they're launched, but there are just so many bugs all over the place on the Earth, you just can't guarantee that. And we sent craft to the moon that the Apollo missions, the astronauts, went over and took samples of the probes that had crashed. When they brought them back to Earth, they found there were bugs on them. And not only that, they could bring the bugs back to life. So these bugs had been in the vacuum of space, sitting on the surface of the moon for years, and they still didn't get killed.
Wow.
So there are hardy bugs, almost certainly, on the Cassini spacecraft. And if they were to land on one of the moons to be rejuvenated there, we wouldn't know if the life came from Earth, or if it originally formed at Saturn on its own. And that would be so important, because if two places in the one solar system create life independently, it means the universe should be teeming with at least simple life, whatever about intelligent life.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's two questions there. I'm wondering, do they suspect, or are just making sure that if there is intelligent life out there, that nothing would happen to them? Or could, if the bugs got onto some planet, I mean, we know there's no life on the moon, but if bugs happen to get onto the moon from Earth, or anywhere like that, could hybrids form if the bugs survived and lived on it? That sort of thing, intermingling?
Almost certainly. I mean, the bugs would evolve to adapt to the conditions, because the ones that thrived best in whatever environment it is, they'd be the ones that would create the next generation. So it's natural selection, it's evolution at its simplest. Nothing's going to happen on the moon because there's no water or foodstuffs, if you like, to keep the bugs alive. So they were dormant on the moon, but when we brought them back to Earth, we could revive them. On Saturn, again, that would be the case most places on Saturn, but the moon Enceladus has an ocean that's warm and is 10 kilometers deep, so it almost certainly has organic materials in it. It's certainly got warm water, so the bugs would love that, and there's a good chance that they would thrive in that environment. In fact, we're hoping there are already Saturnian bugs on Enceladus, and that life got started there in the same way we think it got started in the Earth's oceans about 4 billion years ago. So we want to go back and find out is there life on Saturn's moon Enceladus? Because if it's sterile, it tells us that there's something special about life getting started. But if it's teeming with Saturn bugs, it's the discovery of the century.
Okay. Now, you've been working on this and studying it since its genesis in 2004. Anything interesting happened over the 13 years? I mean... I know that's a silly question. I know it's a silly question.
Over the years.
What have they learned, in other words?
We could talk for hours about this. If I can give me a talk at Clifton Arts Festival next week, we're going to focus a bit on this. But there's Irish involvement in Cassini. It dropped off a probe built by the European Space Agency in 2005 when it arrived at Saturn, and it landed on Titan. And we know there are lakes and oceans of hydrocarbons, ethane and methane, on Titan. It's got a nitrogen atmosphere the same as the one you and I are breathing. In fact, it's 1.5 times thicker. The only problem is it's at minus 180 degrees Celsius. We didn't expect to see the lakes, but we've got radar and even pictures of them as the sunlight glints off these lakes. Some of them are over 100 meters deep. And then this water found on Enceladus. Nobody expected to find a warm ocean of water on one of Saturn's moons. We saw plumes coming out of the moon and wondered what they were. It turns out they're geysers spewing water out into space. We've sort of explained something about the rings, and they're absolutely incredible how small moons shepherd them. And some of the pictures that were sent back of these moons, they look like flying saucers, literally. Amazing-looking bodies. The moon Hyperion is the most ridiculous-looking moon I think you'll ever see. And then the discovery about Saturn and how its weather systems and cloud patterns work. There's a huge hexagon at the North Pole, the magnetic field of Saturn, the new rings that were found, the new moons that were found. I mean, the list is almost endless. It cost 3 billion euros, but boy, did Europe, of which the European Space Agency, which Ireland's a part, and NASA get their money's worth.
Okay, and but the benefits of the information, I mean, we don't see, we can't live on it. The benefits of the information to us here on Earth, what are they? I mean, I'm talking as a pure layman here, to an extent.
Yeah, sometimes there are direct spin-offs from the space program, but for me, there's always two things that happen. First of all, there's just the blue skies research. You never know what you're going to discover when you start pushing the envelope of human technology, and that's certainly what they've done. The second thing is, all the scientists and engineers, a lot of them are young scientists, you know, just graduating and working on projects under the direction of the older scientists. And they'll do that for a few years, maybe the rest of their career, but most of them will end up in industry. And you end up in your society with the most qualified, experienced, smart, clever people you can imagine. And if you think about the future of the human race, we know it's going to be technology-based. So any country that has the top scientists and engineers is going to lead the world. And this is one of the reasons why the American economy is so big, why we associate them with the cutting edge of technology. But it happens in Europe too, and it happens in Ireland as well. So young people listening in should feel they can get involved. Ireland's a member of this particular mission. We don't promote it enough. We should. It's all going to be a NASA probe this, NASA probe that. No, it was part built in Ireland. Software systems anyway. Okay. And we played our role.
Indeed.
And that's the real benefit. I mean, it's great for astronomers finding out all about these interesting places, but there's real science and engineering coming out of this, and it's been estimated you get a several fold return, like 4-1, 7-1, the kind of figures I've heard, for every dollar you put into a mission like this that you get back into your economy.
Okay, as you say, that they should. Well, not maybe, they definitely should extol everything that happens as far as physics and astronomy is concerned, and the involvement of the Irish. Anyway, is it today that it's going to crash at 12:45 in our time?
Yeah, it's actually crashing about now. It takes 83 minutes for the radio signals to get back. We're expecting those about 12:55. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the end of the Cassini mission. Kevin Nolan from the Planetary Society, the US-based Planetary Society, he's going to give a big talk, try to explain this 13-year mission in 40 minutes at Starbecue tomorrow, so I'll defer to him to show all the crazy pictures and tell the story better than I can. After that, then, Cassini is in the history books. But, you know, the images and information they've gathered hasn't been fully analysed. It will take decades to do that. So there's bound to be a few more discoveries coming out of Saturn and Cassini. But, of course, if we find anything new, we want to have another look, we won't be able to.
Is this one of your favourite planets yourself, David, Saturn?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been showing Saturn to people through telescopes every year, and the best time to see Saturn coincided with Starbucks this year, so it was always going to be our Saturn watch. And the overriding memory of me of showing people Saturn for the first time in a telescope is they can see it in the sky as a reasonably bright star, nothing special looking, but it's easy enough to see. And then you show them the view through the telescope, and these are telescopes that collect more than 1,000 times more light than your eye, and it's transformed into a big globe with the rings going around it, and they can even see several of the brighter moons. And most people stand back, look at the telescope and say, have you got a projector in there? Because they can't believe a telescope can transform that dot in the sky a billion miles away into this picture that they see in books, magazines, TV, and the like. But it really is that impressive a view. And I've been looking at Saturn for decades in telescopes, and every time it's clear and it's there, you can't help but have a close-up look.
Sounds like it's your favourite, all right, David. Okay, so people...
the most beautiful planet, without any doubt.
Okay, and if people want to get a look at that and hear all the history of Cassini as well, they can actually log on to, in future dates, log on to astronomy.ie. But the Starbucks tomorrow night, if you want to get involved in that, down in Roundwood, County Wicklow. So
I'll book your ticket on astronomy.ie, because we have to tell the caterer how many people to get those burgers ready for.
Okay, as soon as possible, as soon as possible. Okay, sometime this evening, before tomorrow, anyway, because that's when it kicks off. Always a great pleasure talking to you, David. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Noel. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.